Amen. And amen. You know, when I was at work and I was listening to this song, Amazing, and the Holy Spirit just fell upon me. And I said, God, that song is so true. And it is so powerful. And it's my prayer that we all can stand amazed of who God is. And then we can learn to appreciate who He is and what He's doing in our lives. It is so amazing how God orchestrates, how God facilitates things to be put into place. Those of you that have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans 8, you'll find it in your New Testament. I always thought it Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then I always say Acts, Romans. When you act Roman, you write it that book. Amen. Romans 8. And I want to begin at verse 31 for your hearing pleasure. Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans. Looking at, starting at verse 31, I'll read throughout 37. When you found it, would you please say amen?
Amen.
And you may rest on your feet if you're able. Reading out of the NIV this morning, and it reads as this. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?
All
right. I could stop right there.
Amen.
He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Verse 36 says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 36 says, no, in all these things, we are more than the conqueror.
Yes.
Through him who loved us. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to use for a theme or a subject this morning, I want to talk about my stand. Everybody say my stand.
My stand.
My stand. In other words, it's not, I should be concerned, but I shouldn't be more concerned about Brother Eddie or Brother Ricky stand.
Amen.
Versus my stand.
Amen.
In other words, you got to make sure you are doing you. How are you standing for Christ? How is your relationship with Him? And this morning, I want to bring out 3 points. I want to bring out 3 points, and they all begins with an F. And I encourage you to write them down and study them out a little bit later on in your own time. The first one is when you decide to make a stand, you've got to make sure that you have a sound foundation. So the first one is your foundation. A foundation. We know that a foundation is something that that is laid down, and we build upon the foundation. Whenever you decide to build a house or you decide to build anything, first of all, you gotta have a starting point.
Right.
So in other words, you got to have a foundation, something to build upon. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples, he said, no other foundation are you to build upon. Now, as followers of Christ, we've got to make sure that our foundation is solid. Our foundation is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, when you think about a foundation, you think about when you are building, you're building something off of it. If you're building a house, as a matter of fact, in Matthew, he tells us that you don't want to build your house on sand. You want to make sure you're building your foundation on solid ground. Amen. So when I think about this foundation, I have to go on and look at some scriptures, because the word tells us that whenever we're building our foundation, that the enemy is going to try to disrupt the followers of God. And so you've got to make sure that your stand, the stand that you have chosen, that you are going to build on a solid foundation. Now, if you will, flip over to 2 Timothy 4, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. Now, when you start talking about your stand, you'll find that in 2 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 3, he says that, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrines. So, in other words, your doctrine has to be sound. It can't be wavery. It can't be all kind of flavors. You know, you got to have one sound doctrine. He says, for there will come a time when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear.
Wow. You tell the truth.
Saints of God. My stand. If I find myself around people that only tell me what I want to hear, that's no good. Sometimes, whenever y'all know when we thank you, Holy Spirit. Y'all know when we were playing cards. Come on, y'all. Yeah. That's a bit better response. Yeah. We all done play some cards. We done play some spades.
Yeah.
And you know, when you play in spades and somebody throw out a, you done played your trump card and somebody throw out a club or a heart or a diamond, and they still got spades in their hand, what did they do?
Renege.
They cut a hole. I'm old folks. I've been playing this thing a long time. I ain't been preaching all my life. They cut a hole. In other words, when they go against the rule, you take books from them. So now, whenever you decide to make your stand for God, we've got to make sure that we revive ourselves around people, men and women of God, that's going to elevate, not going to tear down, not going to pull me away from the pride. So you gotta understand when you're making your stand, you don't want to be around things that you got itchy ears, and I'm going to just hang with people that's gonna feed my ego. You wanna make sure your doctrine is sound. Also, when you flip over to one book, over to Titus 2, and we're going to look at Titus 2, and we're going to look at verse 1. He says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Making a stand, my stand, I must make sure that I'm not going on my own accord, that I'm going according to the word of God, because that's what he says here in Titus 2 and 1. He says that we must make sure we must teach what is according with sound doctrine. What is according with sound doctrine? The word of God.
Amen.
The word of God. Now, I know that there are a lot of authors out here. And a lot of people got some good ideas. And a lot of people write a lot of books. But there's only one true book. That's the word of God. That's why they call them concordant. It's because it comes from their personal experience. They're writing it the way they see it. But that's not how, that's not always how God says it is so. So that's why it's good to read other materials, but you got to make sure it's in line with the doctrine, with the sound doctrines that you are following. My stand. 1 Timothy, go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 tells us here. 1 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 1, he says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith. Oh, my gracious. My soul just longed. It just cried out when every time I read this. He says, because the Spirit clearly says that in latter times that some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So in other words, if you're not foundational, sure, sound, the word of God, you got to understand it's only two choices. Christ. Antichrist. Anti is to go against.
Come on now.
The opposite of Christ.
Wow.
And so now, when you're making your stand, and I ask the question, how is my stand? And you're the only one that can answer that question. You got to make sure that you're standing on a solid foundation. A solid foundation, which is Jesus. 2 Timothy 2 and 16. 2 Timothy 2 and 16 teaches us. He says, avoid godly chatter. And notice when you're reading this, it, when it spells godly, it's a lower case G. He says, avoid godly chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. My God. My God. God is trying to teach us. God is trying to prepare us. Because he just told us that in latter days there will come a time when people will switch it up and make it sound good.
Come on now.
Just because it sounds good doesn't mean that it's good.
Amen.
I mean, let me give you an illustration. If I was to start, Lord, please forgive me. If I were to start this song, boom, 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 boom. How many of y'all know what that is? That's Al Green.
Somebody's talking about
y'all know Al Green will take you back. It'll take you to a place where you have to get up and you say, Lord, please forgive me. I lost myself. But what must I, don't think you just so strong that there's something that you can beat everything. We all got something that we deal with. That's why we got to learn to pray for one another. We got to learn to uplift one another, not tear each other down. Just because your stronghold is different from my stronghold, listen, but we all got strongholds. Romans 3 and 23 said we all have sinned and come short. So you got to understand, when you're talking about your foundation, you want to make sure that you have checked yourself.
That's right.
And you want to make sure your doctrine, your foundation is sure. The second thing is fellowship. Fellowship. When you're making sure your foundation is sure, you want to make sure you got good fellowship. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to some house of worship that the fellowship wasn't so sweet.
Come on now.
I've been to some places that it felt, you can feel the tension.
Wow.
You can feel the division. In the place. But you want to make sure your foundation is solid. I mean, you want to make sure your fellowship is solid. Many times, when I think about this fellowship, I have to think back to, we're starting, what, 2 years in COVID now?
Mm-hmm.
Starting on 2 years? And I think back to fellowship. Now, in Hebrews, flip over to Hebrews, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, let us not give up. Let us not give up meeting together.
Come on now.
As some are in the habit of doing.
Uh-huh.
It says, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the days approaching. So in other words, it says in the King James, he says, forsake not thyself to assembly together. So in other words, he tells us that when we fellowship, we draw strength. Now, to neglect Christian meeting is to give up on encouraging one another. I know. Facebook is Zoom is good and Snapchat is good and all that stuff is good, but it's just something about the physical. It's just something about when I can see you face to face. When we can encourage one another, because sometimes, how many of you know that you can lie behind the camera?
Hey, uh-huh.
But when you got the spirit of discernment,
come here, boy.
Whenever I see you face to face, I can tell that you're wrestling. Or you can tell that I'm wrestling with something, and it gives you an opportunity to say, I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. In other words, he says, forsaken not thou assembly thyself together. When we give up on Christian meeting, we stop encouraging each other and helping other Christians. We gather to share our faith and our strength, our experiences. We share that with one another, and that's how we become encouraged, because we know that if God did it for you, I may be next in line. So I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to continue to run the race. Forsake, let us not give up on meeting together. And when I think about how COVID has frightened the saints of God. Wait a minute, let me back up. How COVID has put fear in people that have religion with God.
Oh, okay, there you go.
How can you tell me I'm going to pray for your situation, but yet I'm afraid? I'm afraid. I can't move. I'm just going to stay locked up in my own little shell. I'm going to watch it from home. That's your choice. I'm just trying to make a point here, y'all. Don't throw no rocks at me. But whenever we have fellowship, whenever we have interaction with one another, whenever we trust in God. Now, Proverbs tells us we are to trust God and lean not to our own understanding. I don't understand how all this COVID is affecting people, but I know it affects everybody differently. But my thing is that if I say that I have a relationship with God, and I believe that all I got to do is pray and seek God's face, and all I've got to do is trust him, and God can work it out in his time. If I speak that, if I call you and you say, well, I'm going through this, pray for me. And I have enough faith to believe that God is going to hear my cry and answer my prayers. Then it's an oxymoron for me to duck my tail and run. And hide from God and stop assembling, stop encouraging one another. Because you gotta understand that if I contract COVID, the same God that allowed me to contract COVID is the same God that can deliver me from COVID. And if he takes me home, guess what? The Bible says for me to be absent from this place You got to understand, when you trust God, you got to trust Him. You got to lean not to your own understanding. Make sure that your fellowship is always with Christ. Don't stop meeting together. 2 Corinthians 4. Not 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Somebody will get that out of the wild. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Looking at verse 5, he says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." It's your fellowship. It's not about Tim Sutton. It's not about Eddie Presley. It's not about Leonard Garrett. It's not about Pam Moore.
Come on now, come on.
It's not about any of us. It's about Jesus. He is the one that paid the price. He's the one that should be elevated. He's the one that we should encourage others to continue to fellowship. It's because Jesus loves you, and Jesus will protect you, and Jesus will keep you. That's why I love the word when it says that we should keep our mind stayed on Jesus. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. And when I think about that, I have to think about children. You know, if you would allow your children to run your house, and you allow your children to dictate what they eat, guess what? They going to eat junk all the time. All the time. And we as adults, we know that whenever we choose to eat junk all the time, what's going to happen? You're going to get sick. You're gonna get sick, and it's gonna break you down. You don't get the proper nourishment, the nutrients that you need. So, in other words, whenever we're fellowshipping with God, we gotta make sure that we stay around, that we're taking in good food. Good food that's gonna nourish our spiritual soul. The sound doctrine, the foundation, the fellowship. So we don't go around preaching about ourselves, but we have to go around preaching about Jesus. What Jesus done for me, He can do it for you. But we got to make sure that we keep the fellowship. The third thing is that we got to forgive. We got to have forgiveness. We got to have forgiveness. And when I think about forgiveness, I have to think about so many times there have been so many broken relationships, and so many times people have been in relationships. You've been in abusive relationships, or been sexually abused, or taken advantage of, or used like a floor mat. But when you come in contact with Jesus, whenever you begin that relationship with Jesus, I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit will let you know you gotta let it go. You gotta forgive them. For they came up against me. I'm talking about Christ. The Holy Spirit will tell you that, that the enemy came up against me. The Antichrist came up against Christ. And he wants to destroy Christ. And if you're not sure, if you don't have forgiveness in your heart, that means that your heart has grown so old that it becomes stone. Many people have said, I'll die and go to hell before I forgive them. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because Christ teaches us, as God forgave us, we have to be willing to forgive. I'm not saying that we've got to stay in an abusive relationship. You can be separated from that individual, but still be connected to God. So in other words, we got to make sure that we don't continue to hold grudges on one another. 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 5, verse 10, it teaches us that for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether it be good or bad. So in other words, you're not going to get away. You got to stand before the Maker and the Creator. So make sure that you're doing what's pleasing unto God. In Matthew 25, talking about fellowship. Matthew 25, looking at verse 31, it reads as this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heaven glory, in heavenly glory. And all the nations. Will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put his sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Verse 35 says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. It goes on. In other words, he's telling us that when we have forgiveness, that we look beyond an individual falls. If they got a need, that we are providing that need. That they can see that I'm different. They can see that I have changed. Because trust me, the individual that hurt you, they know what they done. You don't have to remind them. Turn them over to Jesus. Let God work it out. In my closing, the things that we've got to learn to do, we have to acknowledge our hurt. When we are dealing with forgiveness, you got to acknowledge First of all, I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. When you acknowledge it, it does something to the body that you're able to release it now. And you're able to start healing. We have to consider how the hurt and pain has affected you. When you know that you've been used and abused, you know that you've been taken advantage of, you have to consider how it affected you and how it's got you moping around. How it's got you not studying your word of God. How it's got you not fellowshipping with the saints of God. Because it hurts you more than one way. It hurts you physically, and it also will hurt you physically, spiritually. We have to accept that you can't change the past. You got to accept it. That it has already taken place. And you can't go back and make it right. That's why you got to accept it and move forward and turn them over to God's hands. Because you're making your stand. God has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. The other thing is that you got to prepare. You got to start preparing yourself because you got to understand that this thing is much bigger than you. That my spouse didn't come against me. My friend didn't come against me. They came against the Spirit of God that lives in me. So now I got to start preparing myself. I got to start shedding those things off that's been keeping me out of fellowship. I got to start shedding. I got to get rid of those things that's holding me back from growing to becoming the man of God, the woman of God that I know God is calling me to be. And the last thing is that you got to learn to grow. You got to learn to grow. There are times we got my little grandbaby here, but there come a time she ain't going to want that bottle. She going to want some solid food. No, Papa, that ain't enough. I'm still hungry. As you grow, your appetite should change. There's going to be times where you're going to need some protein. You're going to need some vegetables. You're gonna need some substance. You're gonna need some meat. I don't wanna offend no vegans. But you're gonna need some things to keep you going. To energize the body. Ephesians tells us in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. You get around verse 14. We're talking about my stand. Ephesians 6. And 14 tells us to stand firm then, with your belt of truth buckled around your waist. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Wait a minute. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except they come through me. So in other words, whenever you put on your belt of truth, whenever you put on Jesus, you can't just put him on and take him off. I've heard a lot of religious people say, I'm going to lay down my religion. Listen, if you can pick it up and put it down, you ain't never had it. Because when you fall in love with Jesus, it's the best thing that ever happened to you. And you don't want to put it down. As a matter of fact, you don't want it to leave you. He says in his word, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. So whenever you decide to make a stand, stand firm with your belt of truth buckled around your waist. So in other words, you don't have to worry about the world. Because if God be for you, he's more than the whole world that can be against you. Stand firm with the word of truth. The one who went to the cross. The one they nailed him in his hands. They nailed him in his feet. They put a thorns of crown upon his head. He took 39 lashes for you and I. The one that says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because if they truly knew what they were doing, they will stop. Because they don't understand. Right now, I can only be in one place at right one time. But while they got me on the cross, they don't truly understand. In 3 days, I'm coming out of here. Death can't keep me. The Bible said that day Jesus gave up the ghost and they put him in a borrowed tomb. That's the clue. He borrowed Joseph's new tomb. Anytime you borrow something, you better get it back. Jesus gave it back. He said when they went there early that Sunday morning, he had got up with all power in his hands. And now he wants us to make a decision.
Hallelujah.
He wants us to stand.
Jesus.
Stand firm. How is your stand? Are you standing firm on the word of God? Don't get caught up in what the rest of the world is doing. Make sure that your stand is going to please God. That you're going to hear him say, well done. Well done. You fought a good fight. You finished the course. You didn't allow a pandemic to stop you from serving. You didn't allow a pandemic to stop you from fellowshipping, from worshiping. Because how can God's word continue to go forth if you don't take it? Yes, God is big enough. God is wise enough. He can write it in the sky if he chooses to. But God allowed us to be born. He allowed the Holy Spirit to come into us to actually be God's hands and feet in action. He wants us to be about the Father's business. So my stand, make sure you are standing for God and God alone. Don't get caught up in whatever the rest of the world is doing. God has given you a roadmap. He's given you a blueprint. Take his word to heart. And I guarantee you, you will have a blessed life. You may go through some things, but that's all right. He tells us in his word that you're going to incur some battles because you decided to follow me. But if God be for you, he's more than the whole world that can be against you. As we rest on our feet, we're going to open the doors of the church. There may be someone here that's ready to acknowledge their hurt. They're ready to accept, they're ready to repair, they're ready to grow. Don't allow your circumstance to dictate how you fellowship with God. Learn to get over it. Learn to pray for the individual. And I'm not saying praying a curse upon them. Pray for their spiritual souls. God loves you, and so do I. So if there's one here today that's ready to turn their life over, I encourage you to come forward. Come and give me your hand, but yet give God your heart. I want you to know God loves you. It's his real will that none should perish, that all should come into repentance. All you got to do is say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Accept me as one of your children. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose on that third day. I believe you sit at the right hand of the Father. I believe that you sent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the leading guide us. Please, God, accept me as one of your children. If you said this, I want you to know you are saved. So nothing should be able to separate you. Going back to Romans 8, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. Death, life, persecution, family, negative, sorrow, sword, nothing will be able to separate you. Once you got your hand in God's hand, you're assured. Will there be one today?